I think as this defense now has a completely different scheme with Jim Leonard taking over, and I think stylistically they're going to be really different in terms of five-man fronts and blitz heavy and lots of man coverage. Then an offense that, thinking about Joe Brady and Pete Carmichael and Sean Payton disciples that they are, and Sean Payton is a very pass-aggressive coach, and he's been either a head coach or a offensive coordinator for 21 years in the NFL. In 11 of those seasons, he was top five in pass attempts. So I think they're going to pass more. I think they're going to be more aggressive on defense. I think it's going to have a different look and feel, and I think they're going to try to win games differently.
Morning show guest Joe Marino. G.I. Joe. He's theirs. We never talk to Joe anymore. I don't.
No, it's
he's
not.
A morning guy, apparently. Yeah. He's our morning shows guy, one of them. Grand Island, born in, or when he was born, he lived on Grand Island.
All right.
Just like myself.
Except he left, and you're still there.
I know. Well, I mean, you could say that.
I did.
I love the island.
Well, it's not the love.
I got defensive
you're
there.
You're living on an island.
It's
not the love.
I thought about calling you today and suggesting we do this show from my house because it was so freaking hot in here yesterday. Right. It was a perfect day to sit on that deck.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would have taken a lot. There was really no occasion for it.
Yeah.
We have the dog barking and causing trouble. I mean, there was really no particular reason. Just tough it out. Toughen up.
Well, it turns out the situation's been addressed successfully.
It's beautiful in here today.
I reached out this morning and was told it was 102 degrees in here. I don't know if that was actually.
Who said that? Jeremy?
Yeah. I said, Jeremy, I texted. I loaded it. I texted him at like 9 o'clock and said, is it still 110 degrees in there? And he texted back 102. Which I just took to mean it's still hot.
You have the thermometer right there.
I didn't even realize
that. I didn't know that we had that in here. Joe was talking to me last night about how it was in the 80s.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would have guessed that
when
we were here. We were both sweating.
Right.
But today, beautiful. What, like I'm looking out at the ocean or something. It's comfortable.
Yes.
Comfortable is the word.
Yes.
It's not beautiful. It's comfortable.
I'm very comfortable.
Yes. And I love this day, the golf bets. Ian McMillan is a account I follow, I think Sports Illustrated, 2 days in a row for Sports Illustrated on the show.
Right.
And I am tailing him on two golf bets.
All right.
This isn't working out for me so well with Sam. Texas is out.
Yeah, it was a tough one last night. Yeah.
But he likes two things. He likes no hole in one, which I couldn't find. I could only find like per round. I stopped looking. But he says Shinnecock, a.k.a. New York golf course in the spirit of the World Cup, that he predicts whoever wins will not be a first-time major winner, minus 142.
Okay.
The difficulty of the golf course,
right.
The strain of the Open. I mean, I can think, and so can you, of plenty of U.S. Opens where it was a first-time. Michael Campbell and Martin Keimer and these guys that had never won majors before.
Spawn last year.
J.J. Spawn, exactly. But I'm betting against it at minus odds because Ian is. I don't know him.
Okay.
That's enough for me. I know what I don't know.
Yep.
And he is betting, and so am I now, plus 1,200 that the course record will be broken.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you?
That's fun. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
That'll be a fun thing to follow.
What is the course record?
So I'm not positive of this, but the last time the Open was at Shinnecock, Koepka won at one over. It's the last time a major was won by someone who was over par. And McMillan wrote that they're aware of that, and they're not going to do that again. Like,
right.
They're making the course easier.
Right. I've read that as well.
So that same tournament, Tommy Fleetwood shot 7 under one round, even when the winner was over par for the
right.
week.
Wow. All right.
So whatever that is, whatever par, if par is 72, that's 65. Somebody's got to go 64.
This has got me rethinking. You know, I had so much success with the Masters with the 2 out of 4 guys to finish a round. This was like on the Saturday, I think, of the Masters I did this. 2 out of 4 guys. It was Rory, Scotty, Lowry, and someone else. Rose, I think, were the four.
And you won on this.
2 of the 4 to have a bogey-free round. And I was thinking, and I won almost $2,000, I think, on a $20 bet on that, because two of them hit. And it was a lot of fun watching, I think it was Rose, finish up, like, okay, he's almost there, right? I was thinking, if I find that, which I would guess I will, for this tournament, that I wouldn't want to do it, because it's the U.S. Open. It might be a lot to ask.
That'll be baked in the price.
But, well, okay. But now with what you're saying about what they're doing to the setup, like, maybe I'll throw a nickel or two on that just for fun, because it was such a fun bet.
Bulldog, listen, fairways and greens. Simple as that, right? You play golf.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
Hit it in the fairway, then hit it on the green. What could go wrong? Matt Collar had a funny tweet. He'll be on tomorrow.
I saw this.
Did you?
The par 3, 240 or something.
At least.
Yeah. What do you do? Hit a hybrid 210 yards, chip it near the flag, but it'll roll off the back.
Yes.
Putt, scared, downhill.
Yes.
Leave it short, right down a 4.
Just pick it up.
Right. Basically, that's it. Yeah.
252 yards. Hole number 2 at Shinnecock. Yeah,
I did see, I don't like to click on everything that crosses your face on social media sites like Facebook, for example, but I saw more than one version of a story. Maybe it's just one guy, and maybe different places picked it up. I don't know. Who knows how they aggregate and whatever they're doing on Facebook. But what a 10 handicap, which I'm a 10 handicap. I just played Shinnecock Hills. Here's how it went. And I was like, that's around like what my handicap is gonna go up this year. It already is.
What's the number? What do you shoot?
I never got to the guts of the story.
Open like setup?
Yeah, I think like
within
the last
100.
Within the last couple of weeks. Yeah, that's what I'm expecting, like to be in the 100s would be. But I never found. If anybody knows out there, hit me up. I never clicked on it because it was one of the stories in the comments. I'm like, I don't know, just what am I opening myself up to?
Never go online.
I didn't trust it, so I didn't do
just
it.
Just never go online.
But it was one of the few things that I was like, oh, I would actually really like to read this, but I don't want to click on it.
I would guess that a 10 at an open golf course with open setup would shoot at least in the 90s. I mean, most of the time.
Yeah.
First look, I would think that
90
is a great score.
90 would, 95 I think is a great score.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, that's what I think. Even for a 10 handicap with that setup.
Have you played an open course in your life, Oak Hill?
I played Oak Hill after the PGA. And I shot
right after.
Yeah,
like so it was set up
the week after.
Oh, that's good. I didn't do that.
And I shot like 101 or something.
I
wasn't anywhere near as competent as I am now. I think I'm a much better player now than I was then. But
you used to be the big uneasy.
Yeah, right. That's it.
I don't remember what I shot at Oak Hill, and I'm sure I didn't take it that seriously. It was more just a privilege to be out there through different guests and. Even a couple, mostly it was people I didn't really know when I was playing there. It was a long time ago. When I lived in Rochester is when I last played Oak Hill. But I'll never forget that 18th green moment when a guy in my foursome who was doing a lot of the usual nonsense.
Oh, right. Okay.
Just sort of chipping the ball. The ball's right behind a tree. He sort of chips it over here.
Foot wedge.
Picking up 5-footers.
Right.
At Oak Hill.
Right.
Which you're going to make about 50% of the time,
right.
I would say.
Yeah, right.
And I can still see it. I was on the left side of that green. Maybe there's like a parking lot up beyond it. And the clubhouse is up to the left. And this guy had like, I don't know, a 50-footer. He had some long putt. Nobody's really, there's no game.
Right.
There's no match. There's no anything. It's just, we're just playing the golf course. And this guy putts it, lags it up there to like, I don't know, 8 feet, picks it up, 8 feet, picks it up. It's like, 89!
Ha!
The best. I did it. You did what? Tell me what you did. You did what?
By your...
You said 89 out loud? Is that what you did?
Questionable
because there's no way you
scoring
shot 89.
Process, you are giving yourself an 89. So, you know, take that home with you.
This was a guy who was friends of the guy that invited me, and I wasn't there to get in anybody's face.
Right.
But, you know, just... That's something you... You guys can use this. When you go out, next time you're out playing golf and it's very casual and nobody's really that good, just whatever happens, when you finish, just yell 89.
Yeah, right.
Nobody even has to know what it means.
Or if you're trying to break 80, so yell out 79. Whatever. Do whatever. Do whatever you want.
That's a different... 79 is no joke. You'd better count everything if you're going to claim 79. 89 is more... I guess I just did that. Good for me. Look at me.
I still haven't gotten into the 70s yet this year. I just haven't dug in. I'm not doing the work, Mike.
No, apparently.
No. I hate the work. I don't really enjoy the work. I like the playing. I like the walking around playing. I like my friends. I like, that's it.
I don't know. Well, who am I to say? This is you. But I don't know that the work is that necessary if you're playing a lot already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's its own work.
Yeah.
You're just not playing a lot.
That's right. Because I very rarely have done the work through these 5 years that I've been playing, but I was playing like three times a week for the last couple of years, and I'm nowhere near that. I don't even have 10 rounds yet, and we're past the middle of June.
It's summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, why not?
I just haven't. I don't know. I've been in a different routine, the workouts and the bike and the Roswell rides next Saturday, and I just wanted to get right for that. So I have been concentrating on that and not even giving myself the leeway to say like, it's going to be nice Wednesday morning. I'll go play golf instead. I've been just grinding, really. Hmm. So I'm doing a different kind of work.
You're watching four World Cup games in a row?
I guess that was Monday. That's right. I could have played golf Monday afternoon.
Probably could have.
But
I have to work.
Was too busy watching the golf, or the soccer, excuse me.
Brian Koziol joins us at 6 today. We'll talk more about the Open then. And Bulldog has his pick 10, and he's already done. Although he has to figure out what to do with Brooks Koepka's hand injury. Which hand? Does that matter? Which hand is more important in golf?
I feel like the
top hand.
I don't know.
I think top hand would
but
be.
But either one being worrisome would be a problem.
I think if I had I think top hand for me, left hand as a right-handed player would be worse. Because you need some.
I think that's probably right.
You know, you need a solid grip there.
Yeah.
And if your hand is broken or something, then
yeah.
I think that'd be tougher. Who was wearing gloves on two hands? Was that the
Aaron Rye?
The winner of the PGA had gloves on both hands. That's right. I'm glad you knew that.
Both hands, yep.
Is that catching? You don't know. You're not out there. Is that catching on? You don't know. You're not out there enough.
I have not seen anyone in my experience these 5 years where I've been playing all this golf wearing gloves on both hands.
It's one more thing you'd have to buy.
That's right.
A second glove. We will talk to Jeremy Kahn, some AFC talk with the Baltimore host coming up in about 20 minutes. Bills and Ravens midseason this year. New coach there, too. Sal Capaccio, Brian Koziol as well today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.